You're listening to the Caracas Chronicles podcast. To read the blog, go to caracaschronicles.blogspot.com. Well, if you read the blog, and I suppose you do, because you wouldn't be listening to this if you didn't, you know that I like this spy stuff. Cases like the Velázquez Alvarado case really just play into my curious side, and I'm still baffled as to why this isn't getting the level of play that it clearly should be getting. But I wanted to use this podcast to explain some of the linkages between the Velázquez Alvarado press conference and two other cases, the Anderson murder investigation, and also the North American opinion research angle and the Julio Macarem side. We see Macarem is turning into a very particular kind of animal within Chavismo. The guy is clearly very well connected, has a lot of money, has a lot of business interests with the regime. We also see him playing this role as go-between for Belkis Cedeño. So it's particularly interesting. To start to understand how this all hangs together, I think you have to think back to what happened when the first indictments for intellectual authors of the Anderson case came out. At the time, a whole series of people who did not seem very much related to one another were implicated at the same time, and among them was Nelson Mesenjane, who's one of the two main owners of Globovisión. Directly after he was implicated, we heard this story where Nicolás Maduro made a big to-do in the official media saying that Alberto Federico Ravel, the Globovisión managing director and therefore the main guy working for Mesenjane, was implicated in trying to bribe the judge who was carrying the case, Maria Alejandra Rivas. What we heard that was very interesting in the last few days is how this angle played out behind the scenes. Rivas says that she was contacted by Belkis Cedeño's people who put her in contact with Julio Macarem. Macarem invited her to lunch at his house and sat her down and tried to rope her into this conspiracy, first to involve Ravel in a conspiracy to bribe her, and then also to try to fling some dirt at Velázquez Alvarado. Now, Velázquez Alvarado says that this happened precisely because he refused to take her off the case, and that José Vicente Langel was trying very much to get her off the case because he didn't trust her. There's a lot that's very confusing about this, but also very interesting. The first thing is that, as you'll remember, the story of Ravel's bribing of Judge Rivas unraveled almost immediately, because Ravel had an alibi that really you couldn't poke a hole in. He had been seen by dozens of people at a Globovisión Preventa event where he was selling ads on his TV station in a very public forum. So dozens of people could place him there. And Maduro's story, obviously, didn't quite hang together. And at the time, it was very puzzling what was happening with that. But now we, having listened to the tape that Velázquez Alvarado played of Judge Rivas describing this episode, now we have a sense of what was happening here. So first thing is that Judge Rivas was not a team player for the Chavistas, and José Vicente Langel and this midget gang started to maneuver to get her off the case. Now, what's really alarming and really quite disgusting is that, having failed to get her off the case or to get her to implicate either Ravel or Velázquez Alvarado, now we see the Fiscalía, the prosecutors, moving against Judge Rivas, and she's just been charged on these corruption allegations. All of this really, again, gives you a sense of the way that judicial investigations are being handled in the government, and just the extreme level of filth that's taken over the judicial system. It's not really at all surprising, because there is no oversight. You have a single set of people, well, two sets of people, two factions of Chavistas fighting over control of the judicial system, and there seems to be an incredible level of cynicism about just the nature of competition for control of the judicial system, And just this acceptance that, of course, dirty tricks are going to be played, and of course you have to protect yourself however you can, to the extreme that Velázquez Alvaray, in talking to El Nacional, was quite forthright in saying that he was holding off on publishing the other tapes merely to give himself some leverage to negotiate with the National Assembly and to try to get off more lightly on the charges being brought against him. These are the rules of the game in the Chavista judicial system. We see them much, much more clearly now than we ever did before. We start seeing, thanks to these high-level dust-ups, some of the connections that we weren't seeing before. But mostly what we understand is that really the system has gotten so, so, so far removed from anything you could consider a working or a functional justice system. That's what we have for now. Hopefully there will be more revelations in the days ahead. Hopefully some journalists will start to investigate rather than stenograph this story. Though obviously there are a lot of pressures not to do that. But yeah, we just have to wait and see, because it's now clear that this is the only way that we're going to find out what the dynamics of the case and the dynamics of the Chavista judicial system are. That was the Caracas Chronicles podcast. There's much more on the blog at caracaschronicles.blogspot.com.